I thank God for what he's doing this morning. This service has been an unusual service, and I just felt like the Lord was, as we were worshiping and as we were praising, those who dare to open your mouth, I believe that the Lord was, you were partnering with heaven. And as you partner with heaven this morning, it starts shifting some things that you will see some of your prayers being a manifest. And it won't be long. It's going to be a quick return on some of those things that you've been praying for. Some of it's just going to be a thought, and the Lord's going to come in really quickly and rapidly. I feel like something really, we tapped really into something. I felt, Pastor Mike said it earlier about that was marching orders. I really felt like the kingdom of God was being released to march in a new way. The army is being called forth. The God's army. The army is being called for and to be prepared and ready for battle. Amen? Amen? Aren't you glad that we have a great command-in-chief, that the Lord is in control, that he's over this army, so he knows all the great commands? And in this season, I've been finding myself telling the girls a lot the last week, if you would just obey, then this will happen. 2 seconds go by. Well, if you just obey, this will happen. I said so much. I said, Lord, do I need to obey something? But I believe that that is our key strategy in this season. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, if you would just obey, you will see the glory of God. Some of the things God says just doesn't make sense. And then quit asking all the questions. Just do it. Parents, you understand me? Because he's a good, good father. And so sometimes we want, but why, Lord? Well, explain the why, Father. I'm a parent. I don't need to explain all that. Later, I'll explain that. Just do, what did Mary say? Whatever he says to do, just do it. Find yourself in this time and this season not asking a lot of questions. There's nothing wrong with questions. You know, intelligent people ask questions, you know, because you want to know how some things work. But this season, don't worry about all the whys, the hows. I like what Bishop Garland says, kick the how out. Don't worry about all that in this season. Whatever he's telling you to do, do it. Because there's going to be some immediate release, immediate breakthroughs, immediate blessings. Amen. I heard the Lord say, before we were worshiping, I heard the Lord speak the scripture to me. I'm going to prophetically minister to you this morning. There'll be several, I might stop and say something that totally non-related to what I was saying before, but just roll with me, okay? Y'all ready? Okay. I know the Lord is just really releasing some things in this house, and I came with the expectation that this meeting would be an unusual meeting. I came with the expectation that the Lord is shifting some things in our lives and releasing his glory. He's unveiling his glory. I came with the expectation knowing that the Holy Ghost was going to take me out of a place into a new place. Are you ready to go to a new place? Are you tired of that same rut going like in cycles over and over and over again? You say, Lord, just take me to another place. Take me to a new place. I don't want to see this place. I don't want to see that tree anymore. I've gone around that circle over and over and over again. But Father, take me into a higher place, into a different dimension. This is your new dimension. This is your new time. This is your new season. The Lord says this is the year that it's a preparation year. This year we're doing some preparations. This year is going to be a transitional year. This year, it's preparing you for what's getting ready to break through in 2020. Fullness of blessings, fullness of joy, not partiality, but the fullness of what God has promised. So if you turn with me real quick to Lamentation 40, and I'm just going to prophesy into this. Lamentation chapter 3, verse 40 through 41. It says, let us search out and examine our ways and turn back to the Lord. Let us lift our hearts and hands to God in heaven. For those of you who came in here saying, Lord, I want more. And you came with the desire to say, I'm going to lift my heart and my hands to fully worship you. Many of you just gave your all in worship this morning. I decree and declare your weapons were your warfare this morning, and it's shifting the things around. It's causing what has been locked up to be released in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. Amen. Last Sunday, Pastor Mike ministered some profound things. It was an awesome service. And he began to talk about the root of bitterness. And there were some people, I know that there were more people that should have been at the altar. And I believe that the Lord giving those people a window of opportunity and a grace. I want to kind of go back and touch on that bitter root a little bit more before I actually proceed in the message this morning. What he was saying was so key and so profound that it bears repeating again and taking a look at, where do you have bitterness in your life, in your spirit? Those places where you've been hurt, disappointed, hope deferred. The Lord says, as you turn your heart back to him, and as you lift your hands in praise and worship, that he is changing those sorrows, removing the bitterness, removing the stench from your heart, and you will be like a sweet fragrance unto the Lord. It's going to be like you just smell perfume and you haven't put it on. But that's what the Lord is doing. He's making you his bottle perfume. He's purifying you with the sweetest smell. He's causing you to be distilled on the inside and flushing out all the remnants of the things that's been causing you to hold on to stinky stuff. Things that aren't pleasant. Things that don't smell so good, doesn't look so good, doesn't taste, it just hadn't been good. But the Lord said, in this time, in this hour, in this season, as you would continue to turn toward him, as you would continue to lift your hand toward him, as you continue to praise and rejoice in spite of what you're feeling, he said, I am turning your sorrows around and I'm releasing the bitterness. And I wanted to talk to you about what the bitterness kind of, how it comes out. Just in case you missed it, you're bitter. Everybody else around you know. But you missed it. For some, you're in denial. And you don't know that you're bitter. It's everybody else but you. It comes out in murmuring, complaining. Never having anything good to say. Always griping. You know, sometimes you want to tell yourself to be quiet. While everybody like, Jesus come. Help, Holy Ghost, help, help, help. But that's how it manifests. Nothing's ever positive. Somebody talk to you for 2 seconds, you turn that whole conversation to a griping session. Roots of bitterness. It manifests. It shows. When you have somebody that has a pleasant spirit, it could be raining outside. They say, oh, it was a lovely day. Look how good God is. We needed the water. They see everything in a positive way. But the bitter person, everything is horrible. Send them a dozen roses. They should have gotten me 2 dozen. Why did they give me red? I like yellow. Complain about everything. Because there's something on the inside that has caused a friction and an irritation where there's just a bitter root and seed there that you're going to be upset about everything. But this is the time and the hour and the season to release yourself to the Lord. Go apologize to a couple of people. You might want to bring some roses. You might want to bring some candy, some sweet candy. Say you're sorry. And release yourself to the Lord. Say, Lord, now that has to change within me. My concern is, in 2019, I believe the Lord is speaking to many of us about the thing that needs to change on the inside of us. And this, don't miss your window of opportunity. You don't want that same old thing stuck on you for the next 10, 15, 20 years. Don't miss your opportunity to transform into all who God has called you to be. Well, the Lord, it was prophesied by the prophet, I would have lots of friends, but I don't have any friends. Well, you're too mean. Work out your own soul salvation with fear and trembling. You were with you and Jesus, girl. A boy. There may be a prophetic word that has come forth, and God's going to do the prophetic word. Don't get me wrong. But sometimes it's delayed because of us. But the Lord, you said you're going to do it. You ain't done it yet. I command the Lord. Who are you to command God? No. So I believe in this season, as we really deal with the roots, where is that dug so deep on the inside, that it will bring amazing healing. And that joy we've been preaching about, that joy we've been prophesying, it's going to blow the roof off that thing. It's going to blow the roof off. That peace we just talked about in the middle of the war, you'd be too laughing. Saying, I like when Miss Evelyn say, that devil's stupid, isn't he? I love when she said, I say, ain't he? Girl, yeah. You'd be looking at him trying to do something and say, he is just so dumb. And laughing because why? Because the joy of the Lord is your strength. You won't be so bitter about what the enemy is doing. You'd be too busy glorifying what God is doing. He tried that so many years ago and still not getting away with it. And he's still trying. Something wrong with him. He hadn't learned yet, right? My God is better. My God is greater. He hadn't learned yet. That root of bitterness. Deal with bitterness as you move to a new season. Because we're going to a new season. We're going to a place that we haven't been before. We're going a new way that we haven't gone before. Turn to somebody and say, I'm just blessed, 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 blessed. I'm just blessed, 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 blessed. Just bless, 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 bless. The Lord has already spoken the blessings over you. So it's time for the change of the season, because if this last season brought nothing but heartache, that wasn't from the Father. It's time for me to move on to something different. Now, I may have had lots of lessons learned through the heartaches, but it's time to transition into the new season. But you can't go into your new season with the same old pain. It's time to release the pain of the past. When we read about Naomi and Ruth in the book of Ruth, we read how the life just happens. Life can blow, knock a blow that just knock the wind out of you. Every time I feel like I have wind knocked out of me, I say, this is a good time for infilling the Holy Spirit. Refill me, Jesus. I believe every time something come hit me and I gasp, I'm being refilled by the Lord. Because that's the only one who will sustain you when times are hard. Naomi losing her husband, losing her children, hard things. That wasn't easy. It's something probably she probably said, y'all don't understand, because you haven't had as many losses as I've had back to back to back. I'm just drained. I came to this place. I was full. I had my children. I had my husband. I had the help. We were happy family. But now it's just me and my daughter-in-law's left. I was once very pleasant, but something about life just happening just made me bitter. Tell the truth, maybe she was a little angry at God. Maybe she just believed, well, why would you allow that to happen, Father? I know I'm not supposed to question you, but I just don't understand. Why am I empty now? But I'm supposed to be of a great lineage. Why are these things happening to me? Why? I obeyed you. I left one place and I came to a new place, and in this new place, just as everything went south. I don't understand. I imagine maybe that's some of the conversation that's in her head. Maybe it's been some of the conversations in your head. Just not understanding the highs and the lows, the ups and the downs, the whys and the wins, and just the way life turns, and unexpected tragedies, and you know, just things. Life happens. But then Naomi, with a decision to leave one season and go into a new season. And when we read the text, we find her daughter-in-laws who were going to go with her. All of a sudden, she stopped in the middle of getting ready to go. And I would imagine she just had a moment of how bitter she is, and maybe I should just take this journey by myself. Maybe I don't need these girls to go with me. Maybe I should just return back, because they were en route to get ready to go. And all of a sudden, she thought about how bitter she was and said, No, I'm going to do this by myself. You know, bitterness will make you think irrationally. You won't have God thought in a situation. You start thinking out of the soulish realm. You start trying to fix things, analyze things. That wasn't the will of the Lord for her to tell those girls not to go. It was the will of the Lord for them to go. But when you're bitter, you're thinking out of what you feel and not what God has said. You're thinking out of human intellect and you're seeing it your way. But then, one of her daughter-in-laws, Ruth, as we all know, an amazing young woman of God, one who learned well, who had watched her mother-in-law in the pleasant days, took really great notes and probably scratching your head. You ever had a mentor that did something crazy that you like, I don't know why you did that, but I'm going to go back to the mentor I met when you were doing right things. And nobody look at me and say it was you, please. But you ever had a person that you looked up to and they were just having a moment, but they were such a good mentor and they taught you so well? That's your prime opportunity to say, but my God. And give them back a little bit of what they gave you. I believe that was the moment where Ruth said, your God, the one you taught me about, will be my God. Your people will be, I'm not going back. I think she said, I ain't scared. We're going together. And I'm going to go to that blessed place because I already know the promises, because you taught me well. Ruth was an amazing, amazing woman of God. I believe at some point somebody may have told her about the men of faith and all that they went through and how because of their faith it kept them. I think it's in Hebrews we read, I hope I wrote that down. Yeah, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35 through 38. It says, therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. But, listen to this, but if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. And I believe that Ruth said, I will not, even though this text hadn't been written yet in her time, I believe she had been taught so much about faith. She says, I will not have a drawback spirit. I'm going to go where God has called me to go. I'm going to continue to serve God. I'm going to move beyond this, your bitterness. I'm going to move beyond what I feel, and I'm going to enter into a whole new season. Ruth had great faith. She had great determination. She was honorable. She was respectful. When you read about her character in the Bible, you can see that she loved her mother-in-law. Come on, somebody. Anybody have mother-in-laws in here? Oh, y'all real quiet. My husband even said amen. If you love your mother-in-law, you're special, right? It's a special relationship with you. A lot of times there's conflict between in-laws. But she has such an honor for her mother-in-law. She knew how to honor her. That spoke character by itself. So this woman of God just incredibly determined to move forth. And she was loyal to her family. She was steadfast during times of uncertainty. She chose to delight herself in the Lord. Psalms 37 and 4 says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of your heart. So when you can take time at times of uncertainty and not focus on the uncertainties, but delight yourself in him, you'll know that the Lord, he won't fail you. He's going to give you the desires of your heart. We might not understand how it's going to work. We might not understand the whole. It just looks like impossible. With Ruth, her husband dying, with a mother-in-law who didn't have any more children and transitioned to another country, what's really going on here? But one thing I think she said, but I know if I delight myself in the Lord, I know that he will fulfill his promises. So it's keeping our eyes on the prize, keeping our eyes on what the Lord is really, really saying, it really will help us transition into that new place. Some of us, need a resurrection of hope. Just like Naomi needed a resurrection of hope. And we can find the story in John chapter 21. You can find a story about Simon Peter and the other disciples. This time was after the crucifixion. It was after Jesus had already been crucified. But he had already given them a promise, the disciples. He promised them that I will reappear and I will resurrect and I will live again. And sometime after we've gone through what is really gut-wrenching and heartache and pain, just as Peter and other disciples did, and Naomi did, we might find ourselves going back into our flesh. This is why it's important that we keep remembering, keep returning to the Lord. Keep returning to the Lord. Keep returning to the Lord. Deny the flesh, because flesh rises up constantly. And this is why we have to meditate on his word day and night, because flesh will tell you some strange things. Flesh will tell you you're hungry when you're not even hungry. Flesh will tell you, for those of you who are getting rid of sugar, flesh will say some things that's not so nice to you when you're not giving it. The sugar will just boycott you when you're not giving your body sugar. It will just start kicking at you, and your flesh will be like, I got a headache. I need some sugar. I'll feel better. Flesh is something else. But when you subject your flesh to the Spirit of God, then you're able to move into the things of God. But a lot of time, we as people, we go back to the things that we know. We go back to maybe even before you got saved, if you don't really watch yourself. And we find Peter and the disciples after Jesus was had been crucified. He had appeared a couple of places. We find them in a place to where they probably weren't feeling so great. Just like Naomi may have not been feeling so great. And we find Peter goes back to what he knows, and he goes back fishing. Okay, no problem. I'll go back to that. No, I'll grab my fishing pole. I'll go out fishing. And Jesus shows up. He reappeared. He shows up on the shore. And what I hear the Lord said in this season, for those who have gone through the hardship and those who have gone through the bitterness, he's going to show up. He's going to show up in your circumstance. He's going to show up in your condition. He's going to show up in your disappointment, and he's going to resurrect your faith. There's a resurrection of your faith that's happening right now, because all you need him to do, something like the young folks say, turn up. Jesus is going to turn up in the middle of your situation and renew your hope like never before. The thing that you thought was over, the thing that you thought you could not face, the thing that you thought that you could not go through, he's showing up and he's showing out, and he said, I am resurrecting faith in this place. Say, resurrect my faith, Lord. So, I'm not preaching yet. I'm just giving you some of the prophetic word that I know that the Lord was saying. He's going to resurrect hope and faith. Even if you are responding out of emotion, he said, I know your heart, and I know your mind, and I know that you desire certain things. But because of hope deferred and because of resentment, there's been this wall up, but I am coming to resurrect your faith. I am coming to restore you. I'm coming to renew you. I'm coming to revitalize you as you transition into this new season. Obey. Obey. Trust and obey. Trust and obey. Trust and obey. And God's going to meet you in that transitional point and going to blow your mind with the next level and the next step, just as he did with Naomi and Ruth. Naomi and Ruth took the journey and they began to travel to back to Bethlehem, back to the place of God, back to a place that they needed to. Well, it was back for Naomi, and it was a new place. It was a new place for Ruth. She had never been there before. It was something new. Lord, give me something new. Lord, give me something new. Lord, show me something I have not seen before. Lord, let me experience something in the house of God that I have not experienced before. Lord, show me new signs and wonders. Show me new miracles. Show me the miraculous that I've never seen before. Naomi said, let's transition on back. Let's go on back. Let's go to this place that I know where it's the house of God. It's the place of God. We know that we worship God. We know we sell out to God. But I know that I have been bitter, but I'm willing to submit to God. And as they get into the land and they journey and they get to the place, Ruth not being a lazy woman, Ruth being a woman of integrity, Ruth wanting to do something for her mother-in-law, begins to spot a field. And got a permission to go glean in the field, and some coaching by Naomi, because she knew the land. Lord, give us some people that know the land. Lord, give us people that know how to go spot a territory and to claim it for themselves. Father, let's show us how to begin to claim territories that are rightfully ours, Father. Father, show us the field that we are to plow in. Show us the field that we're to glean from. For you're leaving hands full on purpose, Father. And we thank you for the handfuls on purpose that you're leaving for us in this time and this season, God. Father, we thank you for the divine favor in this field that you're sending me to. It was God that opened up Ruth's eyes. It was God that opened her to be willing to be a worker. She didn't want to go there trying to lead something. She said, I'll just take the little bit. I'll just take the leftovers. Be willing to take the leftovers, because God is taking the little and making it much for you. Be willing to say, I don't have to be all uppity and in the air about things. Be willing to obey God and say, I know that I want the bigness and I want the grand things, but Father, I will take even the leftovers right now. That's what the Lord is speaking to you. This great woman began to go into this field and begin to glean. And in steps Boaz. Ooh, who's this chick? Y'all are up. See, I know y'all are up. Who's this woman? And her reputation had preceded her. Oh, that's Naomi's daughter-in-law. Let me tell you the lowdown about her. She stuck with Naomi back in that land. They came, they traveled here. Her husband died, but she wouldn't let her mother-in-law go. She's a good girl. She's a hard worker. Her reputation preceded her. She was diligent in what she did. She hadn't even spoken up for herself. She just showed up. She just appeared in the field and showed up. in this time and in this season, show up in your field. Show up with a willing heart to work. Show up with a willingness to go forth, God. Just show up. Because the favor's already been released. Boaz looked at her and said, okay, boys, let me tell you something. In this field is protection. Don't touch it. In the field God is sending you to, he's already released protection. In this field, he's already released provision. He said, wait a minute. I want her to hang with the other women. I want her to hang with them and let her drink what they drink. Let her go to the well that they go to. Oh, she's hungry? Feed her what we're eating. In this field that you're being sent to, there is provision. In this field was also a great inheritance. The Lord had already set it up to where this was a kinsman redeemer, which means that there was an inheritance that was waiting for her in this field. She didn't fully understand the dynamics that was all in this field. But as you spot the field that the Lord is sending you to in this season, and as you're willing to work it with a little, the Lord said, I am going to cause your inheritance to come in a new way. I'm causing what was the trickle to burst forth like a dam to come forth. The floodgates will come forth. It will come in with overflow. Where I once gave you a handful on purpose, just a little, now I'm going to give you whole loaves in this field. The Lord said he is setting us up. If we would just spot and listen about what field we need to be in this season, he said, one thing that because of your obedience, I am going to truly open up the blessings of the heaven, open up the blessings and open up the windows of heaven where you will not have enough room to receive in this season. Fields. What fields have you been called to? What fields are available? The Lord said, I will even send to help you. I will send the angelic hosts in your fields to help you harvest. For the harvest is so great that it's not, you won't have enough to be able to pull it in by yourself. My love. You won't have enough to be able to pull it in by yourself. Prepare, hire a bigger staff. Fields, overflow. Fields of ministry, fields of souls to minister to, fields of people to minister to, so much with the overflow. Remember Peter? He was out there. He went back to what he knew, but God showed up again. He said, I'll do it again. When I first met you, you had been fishing and caught a thing, but when I show up, there's an overflow there. And so Jesus is showing up in the field. Where you are, he's showing up. Increase. Increase, 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 increase. Come on, say it with me. Increase, 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 increase. You are increasing in the field that you're in. You're increasing in the field that you're in. God is causing the increase. He's blowing on the increase. You started right at the right time at the beginning of the harvest season. He said, now that you will fully experience the full harvest. Nothing will be lost. Increase. 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 But don't let your bitterness stop you from fully receiving all God has for you. This is a good time to say, not on my watch. You can't stop me now. You can't stop me now. Declare that. I cannot be stopped now. I cannot be stopped now. You're in motion for increase. So as we're preparing for this harvest time, as a preparation in the beginning of the season, get rid of everything that will cause you to have crop failure. Get rid of it. Uproot it. I have a confession to make. Y'all want to hear my confession? Please don't think I'm not saved when I tell you my confession. And if you do, Jesus, know I am. I know I'm saved. Somebody was knocking on my door last week. Ring the doorbell. Ring, 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 ring. And I peeped out the window, and I saw a group of ladies. I thought they were Jehovah's Witnesses. So I just went on back. I didn't have time for that. I was homeschooled, and I didn't want to deal with that. So they kept ringing, and then they start knocking, and then trying to open the door. Yeah, that's how I was, Robin. So I had a moment. I pull up the blind. I say, did you not get it with the ring and the knock? I didn't answer the door. And the lady said, huh? Bunko here? She couldn't hear. She was looking for a Bunko club. I felt so bad. So bad. I made an assumption they were Jehovah's Witness. I made an assumption they well, and I didn't assume they really were trying to get in the house. But my response could have been sweeter. I could have said, ma'am, could I help you? But I was thrown off when I was trying to get in my house. I had to go in deeper. Lord, sweeten me. We have those moments, don't we? I'm just willing to confess mine because I'm not keeping it. So y'all can look at me funny, but at least I'm honest. I felt so bad. Holy Ghost convicted me, saying, now, you were wrong on a couple of issues there. And I said, Lord, Father, please forgive me. You know my heart. He said, yeah, that's why I'm telling you. I felt so bad. But in this season, preparing, my whole point is, as we are preparing for the preparation for the harvest, that's something that needed for me to be uprooted. I'm just willing to tell you mine. I don't want it to be crop failure. I felt bad because they were my neighbors across the street. I started to go across to them, repent and send them some cake or something. But what will cause you to have crop failure in this season? I know my vice. What's yours? I'm not asking you to tell me. But what I am asking us to do, what the Lord is saying, turn back to Him. Because when we turn to the Father and He begins to show us His image, and if there's anything in His image that's not in us, if we're not mirroring Him, we need to go deeper. Because that wasn't very kind of me. I needed a little bit more fruit of the Spirit. My fruit had gone bad. I needed a little bit more fruit. I needed patience. What is it that you, as you're preparing, that could manifest in the middle of your harvest that causes you to lose it all? You ever turn on TV and someone have been just blessed, at some of these football players making lots of money, and then go do something like rob somebody? You're like, crop failure. All that they worked for has just gone down the drain for something that didn't matter. A lady on the news had gone to the nail shop, didn't have the money to go to the nail shop. So she thought she would just steal the service. Jumps in the car and run out, and the nail technician goes after her. And she runs over and killed the nail technician. So now, they may have caught her by now. But really, something like that, how can it steal from you being a blessed person? So we got to deal with the things that's going to cause us to have prophecy, because the Lord is, He's called, He said, I want to bless you over and abundantly. And this is what's going to happen, people of God. But those of us who deal with those things, those internal issues, those of us who deal with it in this season, in the next season, we won't have to face that again. And we'll be, to do like Bishop Tudor Bismarck, going to the bank. counting our money, going to the bank. See, you tried to hit me there. You tried to hit me there, but I only was blessed because of the trial and persecution I went through. Now I'm getting paid for being pressing through. Now it's time for harvest. Now we'll harvest the good of the land. Now we'll harvest the provision. Now we'll harvest the protection. Now we'll harvest the goodness. And oh, taste and see that the Lord is. So the Lord said, I'm just preparing you. So some of the things that are maybe happening to us right now, God is not after you in a bad way. He's after to get it out of you. Get it out of you so that you're purified. And when you pray, he said, oh, my rose, you just released a sweet fragrance. How can I respond to you? That's, yeah. I like perfume. And there's certain perfumes I wear, I know I'm going to get a response. I know it. I know I'm going to get a reaction when I wear a certain, and I do it on purpose. I wear it on purpose with a purpose. Yes. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And it's one sin. It's only mine. I'm just telling y'all right now. But that's how you are before the Lord. I love when my husband wears a certain cologne. He'll be in the bathroom just getting dressed, and I smell him. I'm almost like a magnet drawn to it. Isn't that how the Lord is with you? You're that magnet. What does Michael want today? He's drawn to your heart, to your desires, to your prayers. He said, what does my son want today? I'm so attracted to you, I can't help but connect you. You just place a demand on me. What can I do for you? And that's what the Lord is wanting of us, to get all this. Who would be around a stinky person? Besides maybe your children that follow you to the bathroom. Who wants to be around a stinky person, right? It's not pleasant. Who wants to be around someone mean, griping, murmuring, complaining, no faith? Not even the Lord wants to be around that. But when we purify ourselves of that, you're attractive to the Lord. He desires, he delights in you. There's a little book that is the cutest little book. We do lots of story time at our house for our homeschool. And this was parents, I encourage every parent to get this book. It's amazing. You need to even buy it for some adults. They might get it. But this book is so awesome. It's God is Really Good by Bill Johnson with Seth, I think, Dahl. Okay, Seth Dahl. And I like to stock up on faith-driven books for the girls to hear and to read and to receive. And I was the biggest kid reading this book. I so enjoyed it. I'm like, let's read it again. And basically, it's about the sparrow seeing different circumstances and situation and thinking, this is not so great. He's looking at all the problems. Just looking at all the problems. But at the end of the story, he come to find out God is really good. And he was there the whole time in the midst of the problems. And what seemed to be a problem, God was already working out because God is really good. Amen. Come on, say it with me. God is really good. The king is in the field. The king is in the field. The king of glory is in the field. God is really good. Tell that problem. But my God is really good. Because you don't want that thing to stay right. Tell them how good your God is. But my daddy is already working that out. What I see today, I won't see it tomorrow, because I will see the glory of God. Because the king is in the field. My God is really good. He's really good. He said, if I take care of the sparrows, how much more would I do for you? They don't plant, they don't plow, they can't reap. But daddy say, don't worry about anything. God has you. He is right there holding your hand. And when you feel like you want to faint, fall in the arms of a loving God. He's there to uphold you, to guide you, to lead you. And he's made you more than a conqueror. This is your hour and your season. Allow him to give you a kiss from heaven and create a unique fragrance on the inside of you. So, Father, I thank him for this body of believers, Father. I thank you, not only have we heard the word, but we will be doers of the word, Father. We will release every stronghold, everything that would keep us out of entering into a good place, Father. We release it right now, Father. We let go of doubt. We let go of fear. We let go of insecurities. We let go of personal struggles. And we grab a hold of you, Father. Father, we thank you for this time of preparation, God. And we won't miss our harvest, God. We won't miss our harvest time. Father, we thank you. And we glorify your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. On your way out, Minister Michael, would you pick up, look inside of one of those boxes. I think one should be open. On your way out today, I would like for you to grab a bag. As we enter into our fast, grab a bag, handle with prayer. It's just a general reminder of everything that we're facing and everything we're going through. Let's not try to do it ourselves. Jeremiah 33:3, call unto me and I will answer you and I will show you great and mighty things. God's in the mood to answer your prayers. Are you praying? Are you asking Daddy about everything? Handle every situation in prayer. So on your way out today, please feel free. You can take them all out. Don't leave any here. Make sure all of them are gone. Take it with you to the store. It's a good conversational piece. I hope to hear about some prayer meetings that happen in the stores. See my bag? You want my bag? You can have my bag. Do you have something you want me to pray about for you? Handle with prayer. This fast is going to be a great fast. This is a great time to get rid of things that have been having you bound. It's a great time to see the blessings of the Lord and answer prayers. We've been getting back some. I want to give you a good testimony. I'm trying to dismiss. Let me give you one testimony and then we can go home. Amen. So I received a phone call last week. And it was a young lady who's been trying to have a baby. But she's been having fibroids and these tumors, and it's been really difficult. And so finally the doctor told her, well, we're going to have to do a hysterectomy. And she had been crying and praying and seeking the Lord. So finally she said, I'm just going to have to go ahead and have a hysterectomy. So she went in for surgery, got out of surgery, and the doctor said, I was able to save at least one of your ovaries. Amen? Amen? So that was a miracle. She still had the surgery, but I was able to save at least one of your ovaries. And so she rejoiced and she praised the Lord. I don't know all what that means, but I said, Lord, thank you for saving. We believe a creative miracle for the other. But that's just God showing up in the middle of her circumstance and saying, you know what? I know what this feels like. I know that you cried, you prayed, and you thought this might have been it. But it ain't over. until God says it's over. Amen. Amen. You're dismissed. Have a wonderful week. Amen.